Warning. According to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcoholic beverages during pregnancy because of the risk of birth defects. Consumption of alcoholic beverages impairs your ability to drive a car or operate machinery and may cause you to become confused as to what liquids you should drink and liquids that you shouldn't, such as liquids with volatile sensitivity to changes in temperature and or pressure, liquids that require two mechanical seals to stay put, non-lubricating liquids that produce gases and or solids that may or may not be abrasive, liquids that are seriously goddamn sensitive to agitation, liquids that react with each other to form a solid, which is an absolute nightmare, take it from Sick Puppy, or limitlessly lubricating liquids, a nightmare at the other end of the spectrum. Take it from Spoon. And lastly, anything at all consumed by the boys at
shouldidrinkthat.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Sick Puppy.
This is the most reverend Father Spoon.
Coming at you with episode 60 for shouldidrinkthat.com.
Or even if it's crap.
We drink it.
So you don't have to.
That's right, brother.
Green beer is for wankers.
Indeed it is.
And we won't be drinking any of that stuff today.
No, we've been drinking the good shit. We actually have, we're on location once again, and we have a special guest with us. Drew, how you doing, Drew?
I'm doing really good.
Yeah, you want to tell the people a little bit about who you are and what you do?
I own a little establishment in the south side of Pittsburgh called Piper's Pub for about the last decade. We like to sell good beer and really good food. Just let people have a really good time. And met these two fine gentlemen over a couple beer shows here and there. And today they're a little more sober than I remember.
Indeed we are, yes.
We're going to work on that.
It's early, dude. It's early.
Last night, unfortunately, I can't say that we were sober.
Yeah.
That was a little rough.
Yeah, we got pretty hammered. So, Drew, what's your specialty at Piper's Pub as far as food and beer?
Food and beer. We're sort of a taste of the British Isles. So if it's
nice.
From England, Ireland, or Scotland, you're going to find it here. Wales as well. We're really known for our food and our beer as well. We do a little more European beer than a lot of places would, but we've really started to get into our cask ales over the last 2 years and doing a lot of work with a lot of local brewers that sort of opened us up to a lot of new people that may have looked past us that have always been in for the food. And we also do a hell of a job with whiskey. I got a sort of a small collection over there of 400 to 500 bottles.
Wait, what?
Is that
400 to 500?
That's it?
Well, we only shelf about 150 at any one time between bourbon, scotch, and Irish whiskey. But people really enjoy that as well.
Yeah, I'm a big whiskey guy, as most of our fans know, so I'm definitely into that. Do you guys carry the Irish moonshine at all?
Oh, you got Pacheen.
Yeah.
I think that's the name of it.
By Bunratty's Pacheen. We have, it's really good for cleaning chrome.
It's unique.
Unique. I have actually seen a Pacheen still and how they're made in Ireland. We have a friend that's from Northern Ireland. He lives in Scotland now. And I kept walking past what I thought was an old milk jug on his porch until he pulled the top off of it. And it had oils in it. They're very good at avoiding some certain taxes that they don't really appreciate over there.
That's awesome, man.
Sick Puppy actually did shots of that stuff once.
Yes, I did.
It was a stupid bet that, of course, we made him do.
Shit's expensive, too.
Yeah, well, it was like
$12 a shot, I think.
Yeah,
it was pretty close to it.
It's kind of expensive, and scotch eggs from Tommy here.
Oh, we have food.
Wow.
Hey, speaking of food, Drew, while we're getting set up here, we have some major complications, so we're just now getting started again. But you want to talk about the first dish that we had earlier?
The first things you guys had was what we call Plowman's Platter, probably more commonly referred to as like a Plowman's Lunch, and it was gherkin pickles. We do a really good fresh apple chutney, nice bread from our good friends over at Breadworks in the North Side, North Shore, whatever you want to call it. It's the North Side to me. It's always going to be the North Side.
Right on.
I still go to the Civic Arena as well. And then cheese from the British Isles. And I believe today you have our Guinness cheddar, which is kind of looks like a spider web of black and a cheddar cheese. It's a very interesting cheese, and I think the other one was a cheddar chive, but we always kind of rotate between about 20 different kinds of cheeses.
Okay, yeah, they were both delicious. That whole platter was just awesome. And you had mentioned something earlier about the chutney itself. something surprising about that?
The fact that it's got a lot of tomato in it, more than you think, because you probably would just think it's all apples. And
yeah, exactly.
The way it tastes.
Exactly what I thought, yeah.
The tomatoes really make it. I credit good chefs for that. That doesn't come out of me. If it was up to me, I'd still be serving Miller Lite iceberg lettuce. And,
wow.
Where I started, which means everybody can start somewhere and get to where they go.
Yeah, but yeah, see, he would class it up a little bit and put some ranch over that iceberg lettuce.
Ranch, the preferred cologne of Western Pennsylvania.
Wow. My secret's out.
You're not the only one. Go stock up on packets of buttermilk ranch now.
That's insane. All right, while we're on the track of food, we have another plate in front of us. It looks friggin' delicious.
What you guys are looking at here is Scotch eggs. So we've got hard-boiled eggs that have been rolled in a freshly ground sausage and deep-fried for your pleasure. We do a little something secretive to keep from being greasy, and you guys will be the judge of that when you go ahead and eat them today. They're very popular on the menu, and more than once we've had the suggestion that we need to have a sort of a Cool Hand Luke style Scotch egg eating place. I think you would get to about four before we would take you down on it. So they're very filling, very popular, and we'll let you guys be the judge of that. So
awesome. I like a good challenge, though, so I'm going to be up for that.
All right, so let's take a bite out of these things because I'm hungry and...
Yeah, I'm starving.
Oh, man. Oh, I love the crust. Mm-hmm. That's a really good crust on these.
The crust is what keeps the grease out. Now, some people don't like it. They say, it's burnt on the outside. Say, no. It's if you don't have the crust on there...
That's really good.
It's just going to be a greasy mess. And you would assume you take hard-boiled egg sausage and throw it in the deep fryer, it's going to be greasy.
Yeah.
It really doesn't get any of that in it.
Well, that's what's surprising me with this, is that there really is no grease.
No. Mm-hmm. And it's a good quality sausage we use, and, you know...
Where do you get your sausage from?
Where do we get our sausage from?
Yeah.
We use a company in the Strip District that makes it up for us.
Mm. Oh, cool.
So we like to keep everybody on name. We don't want to give away anything.
Yeah, right on.
But, you know,
But you like to stick with local, right?
We work very hard to stick with local. You know, we start in Pittsburgh. I mean, actually, we start in the south side. If we can get in the south side, we go there. Then we go to Pittsburgh, and then we try to stay in Pennsylvania from there. So... Which anymore is a little difficult on a lot of fronts, the way things are, but, you know, everybody does their part a little bit, and the world gets a little bit better.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
Well, here's what I like about this, too, is the fact that the yolk isn't really dried out. It was able to, it's still a little moist, which is good, but it's not runny.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, when the hell did I become a food critic?
I don't know, man.
I think
this is really good, though.
About half an hour ago.
When I bit into this, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people know me on the show as, like, not a huge fan of the beer-food pairing thing. But I've actually come to change my mind on that a bit in the last probably 6 months or so.
Yeah, for us, I'm not the smartest person as far as beer and food pairing goes, but I think that all of our food goes well with all beers.
And what beer are we drinking right now, by the way?
Right now, on your second one, you're drinking a Firehouse Red from North Country Brewing in Slippery Rock that came through our cast system. We run a traditional cast system. We go everything's in a firkin, stillage, traditional dispense. We use no blanket pressure whatsoever. It took a hell of a lot to do that, and it took me getting a lot of trust to people that didn't really trust what I was going to do when I first talked to them. Brewers are very protective of their beer, and this is certainly one way you can take beer and really mess it up if you don't handle it well. So I had to gain a lot of people's trust, and North Country have been wonderful to us, and you guys and I were talking a little bit about the brew pub. It's like one of my favorite brew pubs on the planet Earth.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you're ever north of the Pittsburgh area, you got to check them out. They're in Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. Great little brew pub.
Yeah, I've not sent one person there that hasn't come back to me and said, you know, I cannot believe it. And it's, you know, most people say, oh, it's Slippery Rock, you know, and people in Western Pennsylvania have trouble with distance. And they talk about traffic and everything else. But we go there for lunch all the time, and it's really a 50-minute trip. And,
yeah, you know, it's not bad.
You know, that's the average commute in Washington, D.C. if you're a mile away from your job.
Right on. Yeah, exactly, dude. It's pretty much a straight shot from where you're at, too. You know?
Yeah.
79 north. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, plus you have to go across the river. You know, it's a couple bridges here and there.
I'm okay. My mother wasn't originally from Pittsburgh, so she worked hard on the accent, and then she tried to show us the crossing rivers. You actually came back, and she also taught us that when you enter a tunnel, if you go out the same speed, you actually will still come out of the tunnel. You don't have to slow down to get yourself out of it. Wow.
Well, I got to admit, this is incredibly smooth.
Mm-hmm. You're on your second day. We invented it about 3 or 4 days ago and started on the system Saturday morning. So you're in its best day. It's good on the first, great on the second, good on the third, and there is no fourth day for the most part. Most of the cask beers we find are durable to percentage of alcohol. So if it's a 6% beer, it'll go 5 days on its curve, meaning first and second day it's improving, third day is its peak, and then fourth and fifth it comes right down to where it is. So big beers, you get a lot of alcohol in them. A barley wine, anything 10-11%, you could have them on 2 weeks. And real high alcohol beers won't have much change as far as that goes either.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
You know, none of these beers were sort of in the keg condition then, so it's been the working with the local people that's done it. And it all sort of started with Scott at East End. He mentioned something to me, and I said, hey, that sounds like a great idea. And Scott, we put in a little beer meister and go, and it turned into something much bigger.
So what's the, do you know what the ABV is on this?
I think it's 5.5, 5.4, right in there.
This would make a really great session beer.
Yes. Yeah, and it's by far their most popular beer. It's what everybody really goes up there for. And
sure, and I think the proceeds still go to the local fire department, right?
Yeah, it started, they used to ticket people in the lot that was shared by the fire department. So their way to get them to stop ticketing their customers' cars was to donate proceeds. So
that's an inside bit of information I never knew. That's funny as hell.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And I think, you know, when they started in Slippery Rock, people were skeptical of what was
going on. Oh, sure, yeah.
Boy, Slippery Rock's just a great, you know.
I mean, it used to be a dry town, so you got that mentality there, you know.
Well, you know, we have it down here in the South Side. People are afraid of, you know, the alcohol because of the only thing you ever hear about is the people that are woo-hooing at 4 in the morning.
The woo girls.
All the frat boys and such, yeah.
Yeah, the dude bros, we like to say.
The dude bros, nice.
The only reason that I'm really, really sad that a lot of the places in the strip closed down, because now they're coming all over here.
Well, and that's pretty much where the shift happened.
Yeah.
The South Side
coming
today
to the South Side
is very different than a decade ago, but the interesting part is there's a number of us with Smokin' Joe's, me, Fatheads, we're all the same as we've been, and everything's just rotating around us like we're playing musical chairs.
Yeah, right.
It's still a great neighborhood, and I don't think if I put this in a suburban shopping mall, I'd probably have trouble. So, because, you know, with no pasta and no chicken wings on the menu, people are very scared of what I do.
Ian's ain't no permanis.
Well, we've had that. Probably the favorite thing that somebody ever said to me is, how come Ian's guys ain't got no Thai hoagies on his menu? My mother may have taken the dialect out of me, but I can still do it.
Fucking Yinzer.
Well, I did hear that Jim Crenn's looking for a new partner, so we're going to try to work that one in there. So I got a face for radio, too.
Piper's Pub Chat, DVE.
It wouldn't be bad. They like us there, too. He's a big fan of the Pub Burger, which is a nice fresh ground burger with some Stilton cheese. You got to love blue cheese and apple and smoked bacon for that one.
You can't go wrong with bacon.
No.
So Piper's has been around for about 11 years now.
Yeah, we're in our 11th year.
All right. What do you attribute your longevity to? What's the main thing you think that keeps bringing people back?
Really, it's always been the food. You know, with us, it's consistency. It's care. We kind of figured out without any, you know, we didn't set out to become a great pub. And I didn't really know what that meant when we started. I do know what it means now. In a pub, it's got a lot to do with the people. The guy that served you that came in earlier, Courtney, has been with me for 8 years. My general manager has been with me 10. My one of my original bartenders is still with me in his 11th year as well. Wow. The average server is probably 3 to 4 years in. So obviously we do something that makes them want to work here as well. But you're only as good as your people. I'm not going to be here every single time you come in the door, so I have to be sure that person who's taking care of you wasn't handed a manual that says, you insert name here, this is what you do when you do. I want people to be themselves, and if they're good at what they do, everybody really enjoys themselves. We give you good food, good drink, and, you know, kind of be very fair about the way you're priced in it, and all of a sudden, you know, people really will appreciate that. And, you know, with us, it's I get a lot of people that say, you're the one of only a handful of places in the South Side that has fierce regulars, and Smoking Joe's has their fierce regulars,
right.
Glenn over at Fatheads has his, and some of the restaurants do, but a lot of the places here are just, you know, they're watering holes, and it's similar to the strip set up at the time.
Right. So would you guys say that you kind of have a niche as far as your customers?
We do have a niche. You know, we do a lot of European sports, so a lot of our, you know, a lot of the criticism we get is that we don't do a ton of high alcohol hoppy beers. Now, I try to keep one or two in, but for some people, they want to see six, seven, eight hoppy beers on. My customers want session beers. They're coming in today. We were full.
Oh, yeah.
We were full for a soccer match at 11 in the morning. You don't want to drink, you know, 10 beers at 9% alcohol at 11 in the morning. You probably have some more explaining to do.
Some people do.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people do, but some people are still drinking from the night before.
I'm point. Still single, so.
Yeah, so you get, I got a small child at home, so
yeah.
I have to behave a little better.
Yeah, my nights usually end at 9:30.
Yeah, you have a child at home as well.
I've got an 11-month-old and
there,
definitely
you're
knows
that. Empty down there, you need to be past that one, so. That's more Firehouse Red for you.
Oh, there you go. But this is not the cask, right?
No, those are all the casks. They're
Oh, that's cask as well.
Yeah, all the stuff we get from North Country right now is cask. They are.
Oh, sweet.
They are increasing their production soon, and we're going to see them on the regular draft system. So, along with some of the, you know, a lot of the other local brewers that we've dealt with it. So.
Mm-hmm. And now, do you guys carry other North Country beers, or strictly the Firehouse?
Usually, the two we get are the Firehouse and the Paleo, and that's more to do with the fact, you know, they have trouble with their own. I mean, they're a very, very busy brew pub.
Right, sure, yeah.
And they're kind of handcuffed in their size, so they're working on that, and it's about to change. And as soon as it changes. Like, you know, they make a beer called Stinky Hippie, which everybody loves.
And if you've ever been there, you'll get the Stinky Hippie reference.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And the Bucksnort Stout and a lot of the other beers, and people always want them, but, you know, they have to, you know, they got to worry about themselves first.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And, but as they get their capacity up, we're going to see a lot more of their beers here. And for us, it's good because we've built really good relationships with them. And, I attribute a lot of my thinking anymore to dealing with the brewers and really understanding their process a little more. I could say I probably went the first 7 years here looking at beers and how they were and what kind they were, never putting much thought into where the family was that was being fed by this, that's in there producing.
Right.
The guy that, you know, almost to a person that started out homebrewing out of buckets, like he was making meth in his apartment. You know, so
I know what that's like. Wait, never mind.
It's really opened my eyes, and it's been, you know, it's never intended. Everything sort of has been a fortunate series of happy accidents.
Right on, man. Yeah, that's one thing I respect about you and your entire establishment is I can see the passion in what you guys do. I know you guys care, and to me that just goes above and beyond.
You can
a lot of local businesses.
You can see it. I mean, you really know when you're in a place. You walk in and you're going, well, these people, you know, this is what they really, really do. And,
exactly.
In our world today, everybody likes to build the same box and just paint it with different stuff and call it something different and insert name here. And we saw in Europe, too, you know, the pubs have gone. I was in Scotland, and I remember being in Edinburgh, and I'm in the fourth pub, and I go, it's the same menu. And it's not a similar menu. It's the same menu.
The exact same shit.
The exact same stuff, and they own 40 of them. And, you know, they do a little better job of trying to make everything look like it's a different establishment.
Right.
But it's all the same.
Thanks.
You know.
Wow.
I think we'd all be in a lot better shape if things went back to the way they used to be. We were a little more regional about what we do.
You gotta love mediocrity, right?
Yes.
Jesus. Bit of our first part of our visit here. Our first drink was Magnus Cider, along with
a little splash.
A little splash of
Ribena. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, which is a blackcurrant concentrate. You can get it also as a normal soda pop and. The Irish really, it's an Irish thing with the black currant, and they like it. You know, the English who use their shandies, and in this country we do a shandy, you wind up using Sprite. But they use something that's more like, it's almost like a lemon blend concentrate, and they have it on every bar over there. Mm. So basically you don't ask in a bar in the UK for a shandy. It's just sitting on the bar so that you put in what you want.
You just do it.
Yeah,
wow, that's cool,
yourself,
man.
So.
Yeah.
Plus it's also rich in vitamin.
And it's an antioxidant.
It's a rich antioxidant, yes. I mean, I personally don't really care for ciders. I'll drink them, but it's not like I go out of my way to get those. But with that added...
That completely changed the whole flavor profile of it.
Dynamic,
yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It did. One of the best things about Tommy's been working for me about 2 years. You can read all you want about people's cultures, and certainly everybody's culture gets messed up. I mean, Tommy will always joke about the fact that they'd see an American in 2 seconds, and I go, "Well, how do you know they're American?" He goes, "Well, spandex green pants." normally.
And
if they have big hair, they're from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly. but it's the stereotypes about us tend to be true, but we don't eat Permani sandwiches every single day of our lives. But
we'd all be dead.
But we do enjoy them, and we enjoy our stuff. But like everybody else, you get kind of the stereotypes are certain truths and
half-truths.
But from all the European sports we do and all the people we meet, we can really find out how it is. We get honest opinions. With a lot of our food, we make our food and we'll say, "Hey, what is this like? Oh, it's not so good here. It's not so good here." And you get it from the source. You get it from people who grew up on it.
And, right, sure, man. Yeah.
And it's helped. And Tommy's helped with that too. Now, unfortunately for me, he consumes as much as he tells me. So, there's some
while he's working.
There's some cost. No. It's always post work. But there are some things that aren't stereotypes about the Irish. So
right on.
The Irish breakfast is a drink and an aspirin, but they don't.
It's too filling.
It is too filling.
Right.
All right, so what is this that we have in front of us?
Right now you have in front of you is a lamb and smoked chestnut shepherd's pie. It's a ground lamb based. We use smoked chestnuts. We didn't get fresh glass.
Yeah, it's all good.
We're going to go on top of another
That's fine.
One.
It's all fine, brother.
Hey, one thing I did want to bring up quick, too, is earlier in the week I had a business meeting down at Harp and Fiddle.
Indeed you did.
I know it's tough to have a business meeting at a bar, but it happens sometimes. It's part of the work. And I made sure to order the shepherd's pie because I knew that's what we were going to have tonight.
Mm-hmm.
This kicks the shit out of anything I had at Harp and Fiddle. I'm going to be brutally honest with this.
I used to work in the Strip District, right? So we used to go down the Strip for lunch a lot. And I worked with a lot of guys from out of town. And they're like, "Dude, this Harp and Fiddle looks like a really cool Irish place." Like, I can't really recommend it. They're like, "Why?" I'm like, "Because their lunch special yesterday was an Italian hoagie."
Now, we've had Italian hoagie.
Have you really?
As well. Sure.
Okay, I digress. Sorry.
Our special is our chance to do whatever we got to do, So, and we're working on a lot of vegetarian.
Touche.
Right now. So, we're putting a frittered vegan po' boy on the menu, as a matter of fact. So,
wow.
There'll be a potato in there because I said meat, potato, alcohol.
Right on. Yeah.
It's all vegetables. I like the Harp and Fiddle. The Harp and Fiddle, the difference between them and us, I know they haven't been known for their food and I know the people there well, but if you want to go to a pub the way you want to see entertainment,
right,
that is the place you go. You see good Irish dancing, you see great performers, and they're very similar to a lot of the stuff I went to. I'm not a big fan of giant box chains, so that's all we've seen otherwise,
right,
as far as stuff in Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong, it's a great place to go to for entertainment and for drinks, and I've had great times there. It's just when it came down to the food, it's like, all right, it was lunchtime, there wasn't that many people in there, and when they brought out the shepherd's pie, nice little serving of potatoes, looked like box cheddar cheese, or bag cheddar cheese that you get at Giant Eagle. And
wow.
It was like chili sauce around it, and that was pretty much it. This is nowhere near that. There's real carrots in this.
Right.
There's what?
Chili sauce and a shepherd's pie?
Yeah, it was like chili. It was a chili type sauce. It looked like a chili dog sauce.
That's not correct, right?
No, and this isn't like, this isn't traditional. Shepherd's pie was born of, this is what's left in the fridge. And
sure.
I'm going to cook it all
right.
For us,
So what beer are we drinking?
The Dogfish Head Chicory Stout. I actually really, really like it.
It's a phenomenal combination with the shepherd's pie.
Yeah, it is. And any kind of stout, like we've always gotten criticism for that. People say, "You have 5 stouts on draft." And I go, and I sell all of them. They go really well with our food.
Oh,
it's a perfect.
They do, yeah.
And this
wow.
one, You know, I hadn't done a lot of Dogfish over the years because, you know, generally it's known as a bigger, hoppier beer. But
sure.
These are the beers. Like,
yeah.
I have a worldwide stout downstairs that we're going to do next after this one goes. And I really come to like their beers. They do some phenomenal stuff down there. I did all Sangiovese, all Italian grapes this year. Like,
nice,
a
man. Sweet yeah.
grape. But we did it all in all our wine this year in Jack Daniel's barrels. So.
Oh, nice.
But we do a neighborhood stomping party. So you guys stay tight, and you might even get to that one. So.
I'm in, dude.
I don't know if you want our feet in that.
Well, we've always, you know, it's funny. In my neighborhood, we have a classic neighborhood where we, you know, we eat dinner with all the neighbors, and we, you know, we really like it there.
That's cool, man.
In the East End.
Cool.
But we've always had this, you know, once we've had a few cocktails, we have a little draft, and it's, we talk about, in the apocalypse, who's going to survive in the neighborhood? And we talk about the neighbors that are being included, and there's some people, there's some attorneys, there's some people that are really worthless to us.
Oh, ouch.
Well, no, it's only one particular attorney, but he's not going to hear this.
It's not Edgar Schneider, is it?
No. But I did go to high school with his son, Andrew.
Wow.
They keep me because they say I've got good skills with food and I know how to make alcohol multiple levels, and my neighbor Joe as well, but my neighbor Joe is a better hunter than I am. So
yeah, I was just going to say that for me, it's a country boy can't survive at Old Hank Williams. So
and we got
that's
know,
how
we,
it works, man.
You know, we talk about what everybody's passion is, and the draft works out. We've been working on this about 5 years, so if the apocalypse comes, all the women are safe. All of them, you know, the guys, there's going to be people we're not going to take. So, and I think they're going to take me because they figure when the apocalypse comes, I'll be the person that has the most beer and food in one place.
Yeah.
So we're going to come down with a box truck and, you know.
We're going to get hooked up when the apocalypse comes because I'll have the beer.
And you're
maybe not so much the food.
You're a home brewer and a hunter. You know, I haven't brewed.
Oh yeah, I like to kill things, so I'm good for that.
The only time I actually brewed a great number of beer, we pumped it into a still in Scotland and turned it into whiskey. So you don't make great beer.
It's
to make
the
it
next
whiskey.
Step, dude. Yeah.
It is the next
yeah.
step. We had friends that were talking about getting them distilling here in Pennsylvania, and before money kind of disappeared in the world, like their investors. Disappeared, but
right.
They talked about using some of the local brewers that were having financial troubles, you know, have them make mash. You can make a distillery on the cheap. So, and, you know,
that's
we know
true.
The guys up in Boyd and Blair with the vodka.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful product, great people,
yeah.
and we, you know, we were talking to them when it started. And
I kind of missed that day, but my homebrewing club, the guys from True, did a tour up there this past year.
Oh, that's,
yeah.
It's a neat place because he doesn't really do tours. He never wanted to set it up for outsiders to
right.
come in there.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And he set up, you know, because in column stills you can make rum, you can make gin, and I think we're going to see in this country a lot of the micro distilling. And it's kind of started,
sure.
but I think it's really going to start to ramp up. So.
Have you ever thought of doing that for Pipers?
We have, but
so see, I mean, you have the history for it.
But the money tree that everybody thinks I have is dead.
I can give you like $5.
We actually talked at one point about doing it here in the South Side, and there was some decent traction on it. But again, there was a guy that was going to kind of be the money person, and people are real. You know, people don't want to put a lot of money to something. So if you don't,
right.
if you don't
right.
have the cash yourself, it's a hell of a lot harder in a
yeah.
startup. So
yeah.
you know. And, you know, we've all kind of been victim to it, but the idea is still there. My cousin really wants to do it. I don't think he's got enough hands-on experience, but I think
mm-hmm.
he can surround himself with the right people.
Right on, yeah.
You know, that would be, I always said a nice, I could put a nice pub inside a distillery.
They're your first people. Remember that.
Remember that.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
I never thought I'd say this, but this is an awesome food and beer company.
Wow, yeah, this is amazing.
Well, we work very hard at it, and we've got a lot more up our sleeve, too, with our expansion we're working on right now. So we're,
which you can't really talk about, right?
Not so much, but we're putting a nice, sort of a faster, casual version of Pipers. The original, European fast food kind of next to us, but it's
nice.
It's all going to be tied in and together. But we're probably early summer when we're done.
Cool,
we're doing all the work ourselves, and You know, like everything else, we're taking great care to make sure that we actually get it correct.
Get it right.
Day one. So, yeah. You know, and the big thing here was the piece of property that existed between me and Permane's was, you know, I'm landlocked. There's a Burger King on the other side. And when it became available, I jumped.
Yeah. So, hell yeah.
Because I could have gone my whole life with never being able to do it. So.
Sure.
It'll be kind of cool. You know, we got a lot of tricks up our sleeve. I always said that the day that I come into work and I look around and I say, man, every single thing here is perfect. I got to sell it that day. Because if I don't see a place I can improve what I do, that's kind of, I think, where you go to a place and it's been open 40 years and then the kids take it over and then it goes downhill.
Right. It gets complacent.
They get complacent and they try to ride off what they do. And, you know, we are very critical of ourselves. We look at everything we do and go, well, we're not doing that good. And you may look at it and say,
and you should be, man.
Doing a great job. But if we weren't that
way. Well, you guys are, but yeah.
It would definitely go the other way. So
sweet. Again, man.
So for those people that are outside of the Pittsburgh area or are not, you know, too familiar with Piper's, what's your website?
Piperspub.com. And then, of course, I'm all over the Twitter and the Facebook, but everything you can find in the Piper's Pub main site. So.
Here's what you need to know about the problem that a lot of us have with his Twitter feed.
Uh-oh.
He sends out...
Uh-oh.
Oops.
The most ridiculous, delicious lunch menus. And all of us are online, sitting in our officles, looking at it going, I'm at least a half hour away from the south side. I can never make it down there for lunch.
It's only a half hour.
Yeah, but if you get an hour lunch, I got to walk in, grab a meal
can
right
call
away.
Call ahead and get it to go.
There you go.
You can do that.
See? Solving problems.
Oh,
you certainly could.
I've had some horrible days where I look at that menu going, if I could just get down to the south side right now.
Why do you do it? Well, see, and that was the point. We just want to let you know what's going on, and we've made people angry about where they work. So what I'm going to say to the local officials, if you start to have all kinds of companies relocate to the south side, give me a little credit because they wanted to get closer to their lunch.
Now, here's the other big thing. Do you have free Wi-Fi?
We do have free Wi-Fi. Well, we don't want to advertise that because we're not a coffee shop. And if you decide to bring your Starbucks in with you, and people do this, I wait till you're downloading a file, and I have a switch behind the bar, and I will. So just warn you.
That goes my porn aspirations for Piper's Pub.
If you're in and you're having my lunch and you're drinking my thing, you're good. If you're here for 3.5 hours and you've got a Starbucks cup, I am going to kibosh your work.
That's killer, man. If I'm a geek, so I'd be doing the same
shit. Well, you know, they don't let you legally jam cell phones in the world, which you kind of wish you could.
Not legally.
If I had one more person that raised their finger up and told me to wait while they were finishing their phone call.
Do what I do. Punch them in the face.
Yeah, so just punch them.
I just.
You're a business owner. You can't do that, but yeah.
No, you can't. You're not allowed to punch people. My 6-year-old daughter, maybe, but...
But hey, if I'm ever at Piper's Pub and you see somebody doing that, just... Pat me on the shoulder.
Here's what you do, because when they give you the, you know, the hold on 1 second finger, you walk away. Mm-hmm. And when they motion you to come back, they're like, one second.
One second.
I'm busy. And watch TV. Don't even talk to them. Just watch TV.
Yeah, I wish you could go back.
And then you get a very bad review on BarSmart after that.
Pretty much. BarSmart. I enjoy BarSmart.
So do I.
The DJ Wars is a lot of fun. So
it's a great resource for local bars.
It really is.
It is, and it's kind of...
It keeps you guys in check. I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way, but...
No, you have to pay attention. You, as a business owner, it's...
I didn't mean you guys as in you.
No, you mean the whole industry.
Yeah, the industry, yeah.
You have to respond to it. Somebody is going to have a bad time.
And you should.
And I've seen people respond the wrong way with, you need to go somewhere else and learn how to cook your steak.
Right.
Customer is always right. It gets hard sometimes to say that and really mean it, but, you know, we have a phrase over there, and it is, have any customers been harmed in the production of tonight's episode, which is what we talk about, how we talk about Piper's. And, look, if I got to buy you a meal, I only care that you leave happy. You know,
sure.
I don't want you to have a bad experience, but things happen. You know, there may be a day that the kitchen's running slower because every single person sat out the same
time. You may not want to say it, but I'll say it for you.
some people are assholes.
And, you know, you
I'll go there.
No, a lot of people are assholes. We'll get it out. We'll put it out there.
That may be the truth, but I have to, you know,
exactly.
In the public, you have to deal with everything. And that's all I ask when my staff comes to me and said, oh, you might get a phone call about this. And
right.
The first thing I say, were any customers harmed in the production of last night's episode? And if they say no, you know, the problem that happened was taken care of, then everybody did their job. So.
Yeah, sweet.
And
yeah.
It's like I tell my staff, never once when anybody's walked on a check or done anything, I don't make you pay for it. I said, so you make sure that customer leaves happy.
Yeah.
You know, right or wrong on their part, on our part.
He's not encouraging you to walk out on a check, though.
No, it doesn't really happen that often.
I will stab you if that happens.
And I'm a fairly quick runner, and I've got a lot of kind of anger, so, you know, I'll do a little bloody knuckles on the tackle when I'm getting a parking lot at 18th and Carson, so don't walk on a check. So
that homeless guy that's over there outside Burger King, he ain't homeless.
No, I don't think any of the homeless people out here are.
Yes, I have plenty to change, you homeless piece of shit. Thanks for asking.
Well, I'll tell you that we got a guy down here that feeds birds who used to aggravate me because he would just keep throwing bread to the pigeons until I saw him do something one day. This summer when the travelers were here, we have these travelers that are like, you know, roving homeless. They're out now.
Oh, yeah.
We call them the beige people because they're all the color corduroy. Everything's and everything else. So the bird guy has been down here like a lot of people. There are fixtures in the neighborhood. I would see him and I'd get aggravated. I'm not a big fan of pigeons. Well, the one day these buskers, they were calling themselves, and having a guitar and playing badly on three strings doesn't make you a busker. It makes you annoying.
A crappy homeless person that owns a guitar.
And the bread guy one day with the pigeons started making a circle around these three buskers, and he kept dropping bread until they were covered with pigeons. And it was the day I said, you are awesome. I have misunderstood you.
Homeless guy for the win.
Homeless guy for the bread guy for the win.
Yeah, you know, bread guy for the win.
I know he's got internet service and he listens to podcasts, so when you're out there, remember, you can take all the bread out of my dumpster and feed all the pigeons you want. I'm on your side now.
Yeah, wow. That's stellar. If I would have saw that, I would have hugged the dude, I think.
Well, you know, that it is a South Side, so you can never say you've seen everything.
Right.
That's true. Yeah.
Well, Trump.
And I've been coming down there for over a decade or more.
Well, the good part
I've seen
about,
a lot of shit down there.
The good part about doing the early morning soccer is watching people walk home. Because we're here at 5 and 6 in the morning, and ladies, in your Uggs and half of your outfit from last night, you don't look good in his basketball shorts. That's all I'm going to tell you. So.
Gone home in a snuggie is just not sexy.
Oh, we liked the year they were all wearing thick heels because watching them fall on the sidewalks was funny. They're back to like flat, so they're not tripping as much. It's not as fun. But.
Was your bar, was Piper's Pub part of that snuggie bar crawl they had a while back?
No, I didn't even know that existed.
Thank God for that, dude.
Oh yeah,
just saying.
Yeah, the morning
horrible thing to do.
The morning freak show on 96.1, Mikey and Big Bobber are friends of ours, and they said, "Hey, we're going to do a Snuggie pub crawl." I said, "What?"
Yeah, that's what I.
So they gave out over like 100 Snuggies. He goes, "What the hell? Why not? People will do it. Let's just see what happens." And they sold out, and there was pictures of like hundreds of people in Snuggies walking down Carson Street getting shit-faced.
Oh, yeah. We have the Santa Clauses do that, too. And
oh, they've been
Pipers?
That's kind of cool, though. That's a festive holiday thing, yeah.
They, you know, the bar crawls kind of come in, and you got to, you know, it's a fact of what you got to deal with. And I will tell you, if you whistle, you won't get served.
Dude, that's one of the reasons I hate bar crawls. Even when I was younger, I hated them. Because... okay, if I'm in a bar and I'm loving, you know, hanging out there, the last thing I want to hear is some jackass with a whistle goes, okay, let's go to the next bar.
And
fuck you.
And it's funny because adults seem to, you know, they think that they can get away with anything they want to do.
Right,
exactly. They get real mad at you when you're like, I'm not going to serve you unless you're quieter. Well, I'm on a bar crawl. I go, I'm not.
I don't give a shit. Yeah.
It's like St. Patrick's Day, the St. Patrick's Day proper.
I used to do that a lot when I was down here when I was young, but anymore, I don't even show up on the South Side for that.
Well, St. Patrick's Day proper for us, if it's not on the same day.
I should actually hang out at Piper's instead of walking up and down the South Side like an idiot.
Yeah.
It's probably a good idea.
But you see some cool stuff as well.
Oh, yeah.
You do.
You got windows.
On that point in my life when I'm that old where I look at those idiots and go, I think I did that about 10 years ago. That was me.
Mm-hmm. You look at them and just go,
what's I doing?
Rookies.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It's rookie drinking night, just like the day before New Year's Eve. Yeah, and
amateur night.
Cinco de Mayo, and was it the day before Thanksgiving when everyone else goes out drinking? It's rookie night.
It is rookie night. St. Patrick's Day Parade. One of the funniest nights here, though, is every time there's a UFC fight, we do these neighborhood cleanups with the neighbors, and, you know, I'll do anything with people that actually want to go do something and not talk about it for 15 minutes.
Yeah, right. Just do it, man.
So this young girl down here, she's great for the neighborhood. Young couple moved in, and we do these cleanups. They call it greening that. We do it twice a month in the summer, you know, when it's weather.
What a yinzer term,
it's
by
awesome.
The way.
You know, we pick up garbage, and most of it is honestly like bus line garbage. It's McDonald's, and there's McDonald's down here, but we did a cleanup the night after they did a UFC fight, and I think there were some places down here that did the pay-per-view. We must have cleaned up 30 white wife beaters that were ripped off because these kids had gone out after this watching this UFC, and I could just imagine them just gorilla tearing them off their chest.
Yeah.
I was like, I found 4 white beaters, and then the other guy said, he goes, I found 3, and I go, two of mine were ripped up and bloody. I said, these guys, I think we're all out watching UFC.
Is wife beater, is that a regional term for us?
No, I think that's
national.
National
show, so
I think it's a national term, though. I know a lot of people call them wife beaters.
It's a tank top in that.
It's a cruddy white tank top.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. I thought wife beater was universal.
I thought it was, too. I just thought, maybe not.
Everybody uses the rule of thumb, and they don't really know how offensive that is for its true meaning. You can go look that up on your own. I'm not playing that one, too.
I know what he's talking about. We're all good there. Like doing the peace sign thing in England.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good thing to do over there.
Well, so you've mentioned different hours that you guys have been open. What are your hours?
11 to 11 as far as kitchen goes, Monday through Friday. The weekends is really dependent on what the European sports are. Our normal hours are 11 on Saturday till 2 a.m.
Okay.
So until midnight. Sunday is 8:30 a.m. To 3 for brunch, and then we're kitchens open until 10, bars up until midnight. We're not a real late night. We never really wanted to be.
Okay.
It's nothing really good happens after 1 in the morning. So we kind of,
I've learned that over the years. You're exactly, you're correct.
But depending on soccer match, if it's in Asia, we're open at 4 in the morning. No, we legally can't serve alcohol, till 7 a.m. every day.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question is, what's the earliest that you've
opened? Well, we have an extended hours food license. So we did World Cup matches in Asia the first year we were open, and it was like 4 in the morning. And, you don't really make a lot of money doing it, but it's kind of where we got our start for what we do. And,
right.
And, I didn't grow up liking soccer. I had customers that wanted to see it. And after 10 years, I met a whole bunch of people that I would never meet in life by doing this. And a lot of them, to me, everybody is, you don't work, you're not the president of this company. I know that you don't like lemon in your iced tea, and that's our interaction,
Right.
People see me in the real world, and they stare at me, and I have to go, Pipers, and they go, oh, shit, that's it. Because they look at you, and you don't know. You see that girl in the store, and you're like, I know that girl. I don't know if she works in the office. I don't know if I get my pizza off her, but she's not where she's supposed to be today. but soccer matches, we have the World Cup coming up in June. The early kickoffs are going to be 7:30. In the morning when there's the first round before they get to the knockout elimination, there's 3 matches a day, so the early match will be 7:30. So we open, and for us that puts us here 3-4 hours before you get here, so we don't sleep much. That's why we do, I'm not open Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. We shut down for holidays because we do this 7 days a week, and we do,
that's
fantastic, though.
Yeah.
And you gotta, you alluded to it before, we've kept our staff for a reason. And oddly enough, everybody always thinks St. Patrick's Day, busiest day of the year. It's not. Boxing Day is our busiest day of the year. And
really?
Really? Why is that?
Yeah.
26th of December is the one day that all my European customers, for them it is the way college football used to be on New Year's Day.
Right.
Now the national championship, I think, is coming up in June by the time they're done with college. It used to be they just finished right there, but
right.
All the European teams, the English teams play on the hour starting at 7:45 in the morning. But you have to understand that my expats, they're not going to be getting pounded in the morning. Most of them may have to go to work or go do stuff all day. They might have a pint or two, and they're usually in different food. This is the one day that they just get annihilated. And this year we did
gigantic drunk fest.
Yeah, we brought in Christmas crackers, and for them it's these poppers they pull apart, and they all had them in the home, and they have little toys in them and these little paper hats, right? So I waited till noon. Liverpool match, I think, was on, and everybody I knew was like, it was game on. They've been in here for a while. and I passed up these Christmas crackers. I probably spent $400 on cases of these. And
Damn,
they kind of snap and pop when they pull apart. But in 15 minutes, I looked around, and I had a room full of very proper adults, all with the paper hats on, with these big, shitty grins, playing with their little tops and their little toys that came in them. And, you know, for them, it's a piece of home. And that's why they've asked us.
Like, yeah, right.
I've had more people from England that have told me, you know, I sat in the city for 10 years and didn't know there was anybody, and they met through us, and that's
cool.
They're the ones that taught us really what the meaning of a pub is, and a pub in Europe is where you all meet, so being able to do that down here in the South Side has been kind of great, and all by accident, so, you know, listen to your staff, listen to your customers, then listen to yourself last. You know, you can have your ideas, but you got to be a little flexible and got to be able to, you know, kind of take what everybody else tells you, because you're, you know, not one of us in the world knows everything.
Right. I think if I opened a beer store, I'd probably fail within a year. I'd be like selling all the shit that I love and not selling the shit that I hate.
That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
You're passionate about
right.
it. Not, you know, you
shouldn't be in business.
You know, I could certainly dump something down in some giant hall and put a bunch of green shamrocks up
and don't do that.
But, you know,
I
wouldn't sleep at night either.
Yeah, right. So, exactly. Yeah.
I like it the way we've done it.
Now, do you ever have live bands or musicians come in?
We used to, but we really only get pipers in on St. Patrick's Day. Our setup is kind of really awkward to do it, and that's where we talked about the harp and fiddle before. Their setup is they are in tune.
They have a stage too.
Yeah, they have a stage, but our setup, you know, you guys know because we switched rooms because the acoustics were so bad over there. Our acoustics are bad. So
we're now in our third location.
Yes,
for recording today.
But we got the basement, which was I started thinking. I said if I sit them on the cases in my office, and you know, being in these long old buildings in the South Side. We use every single inch of space. You know, if I can get a shelf there, we can get something on it, you know. So I've got a building that's 100 feet long and my basement's only 30. So, we have trouble with that at times. But, the acoustics are bad enough with the live music stuff. But we're going to expand upstairs in the future. No time frame on that. But we would really like to be able to do, like, Sunday night sessions and stuff like that. I know that some of the other places, like the chain places, have tried to do it. But again, the minute they change a manager, game changes.
Right.
Oh, yeah, sure, definitely. Yeah.
So it would work well for us. But, we like everything else, if we can't do it right, we just won't do it right now. You know, we'll wait to, you know, there's things I've wanted to have on my menu for 10 years, but we just haven't been able to have the space or the capacity to do
right.
them. So some of that stuff we're phasing in now.
What are those things?
Well, there's a lot of things we want to do.
It's a secret, I know.
It's a lot of secrets, but the good stuff's coming out. We're in the middle of expanding our kitchen, and that's the bigger thing, more than expanding the customer space, is we need more kitchen space. People look at where our operation is, and they can't believe we do the volume we do out of such a small space, but again, there's things
When I first found you guys, that's what I thought, too.
Yeah, right.
I honestly thought that. I'm like, how the hell do they do this?
How the hell do they do it? Yeah. And you do it by doing this. I would love to have item X on my menu, but it will crash my whole line. And if you can't, you know, get your food in a reasonable time, then we won't do it.
Yeah.
And you know, and I get it every day. The one thing people say to you when you're in business or they don't do what you do is they say, you know what y'all ought to do? And I got an answer to that. And I say, you know what you ought to do is put 6 zeros on a check and I'll tell you what the first one is and you can make all the decisions you want here.
Okay, wrapping up really quick. In the last 11 years, what's been your favorite moment?
Wow.
Wow, that is an interesting.
You know, most of my favorite moments have come at our Christmas parties and really... We don't allow anybody to have any audio or video recording during our
Noted, thanks.
We use a local bar up the street, and the one thing that we've done consistently for the entire time here is we do a Secret Santa, and it's game on. It's everybody's in the hat, and you get it. And I think the funniest was... one of my employees had received a sheep. That sheep had a
an actual sheep?
No, the sheep had an air valve on it.
I own one of those. Not that I bought it myself, but
there have been some really, really good, you know, things done to me personally, things that, you know, we all embarrass each other, and we got our bookkeeper this year because she had no idea this is how it went. She ran out of the room because we didn't explain it. She thought she just put her gift down and they walked away with it, but you call the next person up, and then there's a production, and everybody stands there.
Ouch.
What your gift is. So, depending on how it is, it can be embarrassing and funny. But our Christmas parties, we do a little local bar right up the street, the Intermission. It's like our local for us.
Right.
It's a pretty intense session, that one. So I'm usually pretty boozy in a cab on the way. The next Monday, it's like we have a lottery for who works the next Monday, and maybe that's some of the better times. Is when you're walking in and we're all just, my head's, I feel like I'm about 1 inch tall and a land of giants because I've got such a bad hangover.
Right on, man. Yeah.
So, but favorite moment? Oh, millions. You put me on the spot, though. You gave me no chance to think about it. I might have come up with a good story.
I'll give you another one. Second final question. Since I'm Polish, I can do that.
Wow. I'm German. You get one.
I'm German, too.
What does Wutami do mean?
What the hell if I know? I'm more German.
I don't know. I drive in Polish Hill and the sign says, "Don't tell me to do it." I'm like, what does it mean? Rick Seebeck didn't tell me on his damn show.
Wow.
All right. So,
go ahead.
Why should people come to Pipers?
Why should they come to Pipers?
Why should people come to Pipers?
If you have never been here, then you need to come to Pipers. If you've been here, then I know you're still coming to Pipers. So, good food, good booze, good friends, good times. That's it. Sounds like a bad tagline.
That's well said, dude.
But,
it's the truth, man.
I always tell people, come and, let us show you what we can do. So it's why, like you talked about, I didn't realize you were true, but we did the CF benefit, the Tarek's daughter.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And,
Sage's Soldiers.
And, that was just, what a great event. But that's what I like to do. Come serve food, come talk to people. Cause the easiest way, like you guys today, if I take that spoon and put that food in your mouth, I mean, people get real skeptical. They look at something and think, Landship, it's pie. They're looking for, you open a menu and you're going to have your spinach and artichoke dip and you're going to have your da da da. And they see some things and they get very nervous over, I don't know. I'm skeptical, but that lamb shepherd's pie, we take to almost everything we do, and I put one spoon in your mouth, and people are like, oh my God, I have to come there.
Yes.
And then the plowman's platter.
I'll be here tomorrow, by the way.
The plowman's platter, which you ate first with the Wagners, we put that in a wrap. That makes it great.
Wow.
It's like an Irish burrito. It's so good. And it actually looks like sushi once you cut it down. And this people say it's sushi, and I go,
don't say that. I hate sushi.
I love it.
Sad for you. I love sushi.
I was never a sushi.
That's just more for us.
That's just one lazy friggin' cook who invented that.
Did I answer your question? I'm not sure I did.
You know what? That's good enough.
I think you did overall.
Is there a third question? Because you did say you had three coming up.
Why does it hurt when I pee?
You're still single.
Noted. Thanks. Seriously, any other questions for
us? Actually, since we're pretty much at the end of the show here, once again, thank you for having us.
Yes,
this food was incredible. The beers were great. This is the point of the show where we tell you the big announcement. We've been leading up to this for the last couple months.
Oh, yeah, we've been holding off on this.
And, this is the big moment. Do we have drums that we can play or anything? Hey, check out the bass on the meter. All right. If you're listening to this show, it's because of one of two reasons. One, you already subscribed to our show, and you're just downloading because, that's what you do and you love us.
B, you're medicated.
Okay, so there's three. Yeah, B, you're medicated, because what numbs you down more than listening to two jackasses with a beer show? Number three is because we are in the March issue of Pittsburgh Magazine.
Woo!
Woo, yeah. Woo! Bells, whistles, woo! That's right. Someone decided, probably while they were drunk, that it would be a great idea to feature Should I Drink That in the March issue of Pittsburgh Magazine. Now, here's the thing. The distribution. There's about 50,000 subscribers that get it at their house. Over 250,000 readers. So that's right. Should I Drink That? Us two jackasses are now reaching over 250,000 people.
We'll be in your living room very soon.
If that's not a scary fact, I don't know what is. Next year, crapper, wherever you keep your magazine, that's where I keep my magazine. That's the only place I have in the house to read, really, with an 11-month-old.
I can see the restraining orders coming in now.
So along with 50,000 subscribers, a quarter million readers, and that's not including the people that read online, of course, because everybody reads stuff online. Pittsburgh Magazine can be found on newsstands at Giant Eagle, Target, Rite Aid, Barnes & Noble, Borders, throughout the 10 counties, limited availability in other parts of PA, West Virginia, and Ohio. So that means we're going to be getting everywhere, yo.
Pittsburgh Magazine in Ohio?
I guess. I don't know why.
Awesome.
Well, probably Boardman, because you know, it's a half hour away. What? You know, why the hell? Why not? Now, here's what you need to know, in case you're going, well, what the hell is Pittsburgh Magazine? Pittsburgh Magazine is the leading authority on people, places, issues, and events that make Pittsburgh the nation's most livable city. Launched in 1969. Wow. Dude, it's as old as you.
It is indeed as old as I.
You were launched in 1969 as well.
Yeah. Mistake happened in my family in 1969.
Pittsburgh Magazine provides a quarter million monthly readers with the best the city has to offer in the worlds of art and culture, business, dining, entertainment, nightlife, politics, sports, travel, and style. Wow, all in one breath. Go Smokers.
Indeed.
With award-winning features of writing, service journalism, and design, Pittsburgh Magazine serves and enriches the lives of our readers. Ooh. Pittsburgh Magazine is the region's leading magazine for one simple reason: quality of content, which is why we're in the magazine.
Hey, that's why we're there.
Apparently they want to, you know, appeal to the beer drinkers out there.
We have quality and we have content, so we fit.
For four decades, Pittsburgh Magazine has been trusted as one of our community's most important voices. That's why we've won more awards than all the other area magazines combined. Ooh. And why Pittsburgh Magazine is a sponsor at more local events and functions. I wonder if they'll sponsor us. Let's try that.
Not after this show.
So go out and pick up the March issue of Pittsburgh Magazine. There you go. We're in Pittsburgh Magazine. Huge honor. Thank you for talking to us, for interviewing us, and you know the privilege to be in your magazine. And I hope that we do yins well.
Hey, well, that said, I want to thank Drew once again.
Matt.
Yeah, don't forget Matt as well.
Who the hell's this Matt guy? I don't know what you're talking about.
Matt.
I edited that mistake out, so shut up.
Well, my staff would enjoy it. We had a staff member named
Shut up, Matt. Really.
No. Yeah. It was Miat.
Miat.
Miat was from Gettysburg.
And that. No, seriously, Drew, thanks so much
for your
hospitality and all the food and good times, man.
I appreciate it as well. You know, it's nice to get recognized by people that sort of know what they're doing.
Wait, he said sort of.
Well, I've been watching your computer turn off all day, so we're going to say sort of.
Blame Windows 7 for that.
No, I said,
starter edition.
I said use some of Warren Buffett's money to fix Windows, Bill, please.
Indeed, yes.
It's nice that there's people like me.
Load Linux and be happy.
It's nice that there's people like me who are tolerant of people like you.
Indeed.
Every yin needs a yang.
That's what my therapist says, yes. All right, so we out, guys?
I'll see you, Abe Froman.
We out.
See ya.
For shouldidrinkthat.com, this is the most reverend Father Spoon.
This is Sick Puppy.
And this is Drew, not Matt.
Who this Matt guy is? What the hell?
Matt.
We're even if it's crap.
We drink it.
So you don't have to.
Indeed.
Bitches.
I went all George Takei on you guys there. Indeed.